you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up!
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I'm Dave Smith. He's Robbie Bernstein, the fire, the king of the cocks, COVID Jesus. We're on our way. Tomorrow morning, we're headed up to fucking Boston, about to have some fun. How you feeling, brother?
I'm excited. I got new jokes for it.
New jokes? I'll have some by the time we get there. I'm going to write in the car. That's my plan. We're going to have the stand-up shows have sold out. There are still a few tickets available for the podcast tomorrow night. Some of you might listen to this episode before then. If you do, you might be able to snag some of the last few tickets, but we're going to have a lot of fun. And then after the shows on Friday, Saturday morning, I'm hopping on a plane headed out to Arizona to go to the Arizona Libertarian Party State Convention in February. I'm going to be at the and then the Connecticut Libertarian Party convention. Then in February, I'm going to be at the California and the Florida State Party conventions. A whole bunch of them coming up real soon. So that should be fun. And then, Rob, you've got your upstate gig with Sam Tripoli coming up.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Party drinking weekend.
What weekend is that?
I think it's the 21st. It's next weekend.
Oh, there you go. Next weekend. Oh, that should be fun. All right. So a lot of fun stuff coming up. And and we're going to do a live podcast while we're up at Boston, as I was just saying. So that'll be the next episode, I suppose. We'll get that one released over the weekend. And that should be a lot of fun. The news ones are always fun.
Dude, the live ones are so fun. And the news has one day to deliver some bombshells or for Antifa to protest us.
I'll tell you, here's the thing, right? I've taken a look at the weather. It is supposed to be 3 degrees in Boston. Now, we're going to be having a nice, hilarious, toasty time inside the comedy club. But I really don't think anyone hates us enough to protest in 3 degree weather.
Ooh, you almost have to respect it then.
I mean, if they do, I will stop the show. I will stop the show halfway through my set. I will bring you hot cocoa. Outside. That's my promise to you. You come protest me in 3 degree weather. I will bring you hot cocoa. I couldn't imagine hating anything that much.
I rant
about this multiple times a week, and there's nothing I hate enough to protest in 3 degree weather.
Just your luck, you find out the Boston chapter has a really good travel rig with like heaters and generators, and it's like an outdoor party.
Well, it's like, can you guys turn off the heat lamps? Like, please. All I'm asking, like, you don't have to kick them out. No, I don't think that'll be an issue. I think cold weather clears up a lot of these fake lefty.
Also, you got to hope
shit.
At least in Boston, there's some guy who goes, hey, wait, these fuckers are pro black. That's not what they sound like up there, but you know.
No, that was good. That was it. That was solid. You nailed it. Okay. So there's several things I wanted to talk about today. I don't know how much time this is going to take. So let's, I guess, just start rattling them off. The first one, which was my favorite moment of the last few days, which I bet was yours too, was another appearance by Dr. Truth Science, Anthony Fauci, in front of the Congress there, and had another exchange with Rand Paul, which goddamn, like,
isn't this WWF? Say, like, it should almost be pay-per-view at this point. Rand Paul should understand that when he's sparring Fauci, like, he should be cashing in on that. That should be HBO. It should be promoted.
He is. Well, look, it's an interesting thing, right? Because for people in my little world of the liberty movement or whatever, we have this whole kind of backstory, like where I was like radicalized by the great Ron Paul and his two, you know, incredible presidential runs. And I mean, he ran three times, but I was radicalized by the two in 2008 and 2012. And Rand Paul was supposed to be the heir, you know, the inheritor of that legacy. And it, 2016, the presidential run did not work out that well. And he, what are we doing here, Rob? Taking pictures?
I'm gonna show the view.
Oh, okay. Sorry. There you go.
I didn't mean to distract you.
No, it's fine. So, you know, the Rand Paul presidential campaign didn't work out that well. A lot of us were very disappointed by kind of like what we saw as some compromises that he made and being less than forthright about the truth and things like that. But it's interesting to see after, you know, this all kind of how it's all worked out that, like, really, I think in a way, you know, Rand Paul had some amazing moments with his filibuster of John Brennan and stuff like that. But really, he kind of like found his voice through this COVID regime and through being the guy who really grilled Dr. Fauci better than anybody else and has really exposed him, I think, more so than anybody else. Optometrists
really know their stuff.
Yeah. But I look, I mean,
I'm going to start going to the mall and finding whoever's in that glasses hut for whatever my medical needs are. These are the only people you can trust.
These are the people to talk to, about viruses. That's where you go. But it does, I'll tell you, like, the fact that Rand Paul is the most, like, okay, you could debate whether he's the most libertarian member of Congress or not. I suppose there's a few others, you know, Thomas Massie or guys like that. But Rand Paul is the most, like, visibly, like the most like commonly associated famous person with libertarianism at this point, I think, at least within the Congress, certainly. And I think there's something really great about that guy being like the best guy on the COVID regime. And I'm really grateful for that. Like it lets you kind of like say, like, you know, if you're talking to anybody who opposes all of the COVID tyranny, you can be like, well, hey, you know, isn't Rand Paul kind of the best guy on this? It's like, well, yeah, that's right. That's because he fucking comes from our tradition of like believing in liberty. And that's, you know, so I'm very grateful for that. And I just think he's done a great job every time. And this was a really interesting one, maybe the most interesting back and forth that he's had with Dr. Fauci, and partially because of the reaction that he already elicits from Dr. Fauci the second they start talking now. You know what I mean? Like, Fauci's already right away. He's like, oh, you motherfucker, Rand Paul. I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for these meddling Pauls. You know, like, that's the real vibe he has. So anyway, this was fun. Anything you want to say before we go into it, leading into the clip?
The second I got home and I saw that they went at it once again, I was excited and I went in heated because I listened to quite a bit of the oral arguments at the Supreme Court. And I was very disappointed in our Supreme Court and the nature of those conversations. But then when I saw Rand Paul was going after Fauci, I was like, all right, maybe there's still a little bit of justice left in the world. And, you know, I live for this shit. It's my WWF. It's great. This is the matchup.
Me too. It's the WWF, but except it's there, even though it's a fake fight, there are real results. So, all right, let's start it. And I'm sure we'll have fun taking this apart.
Dr. Fauci, the idea that a government official like yourself would claim unilaterally to represent science, that any criticism of you would be considered a criticism of science itself, is quite dangerous. Central planning, whether it be of the economy or of science, is risky because of the fallibility of the planner. It would not be so catastrophic if the planner were simply one physician in Peoria. Then the mistakes would only affect that physician's patients, the people who chose that physician. But when the planner is a government official, like yourself, who rules by mandate, the errors are compounded and become much more harmful. A planner who believes he is the science leads to an arrogance that justifies, in his mind, using government resources to smear and to destroy the reputations of other scientists who disagree with him. In an email exchange with Dr. Collins, you conspire, and I quote here directly from the email, to create a quick and devastating published takedown of three prominent epidemiologists from Harvard, Oxford, and Stanford. Apparently, there's a lot of fringe epidemiologists at Harvard, Oxford, and Stanford. And you quote in the email that they, or from Dr. Collins, and you agree that they are fringe. And immediately there's this takedown effort. A published takedown, though, you know, doesn't exactly conjure up the image of a dispassionate scientist. Instead of engaging them on the merits, you and Dr. Collins sought to smear them as fringe and take them down. And not in journals, in lay press. This is not only antithetical to the scientific method, it's the epitome of cheap politics, and it's reprehensible, Dr. Fauci. Do you really think it's appropriate to use your $420,000 salary to attack scientists that disagree with you?
The email you're referring to was an email of Dr. Collins to me.
I love that Fauci just has the mask on until it's time to answer the question, and his mask gets more serious every time. Like, he was wearing the cloth masks before, but now he's got the N95 mask on, and he takes it down. He's like, oh, okay. Well, if it's my turn to talk, then it's okay to take this mask down. Like, if 3 seconds earlier his mask had been beneath his nose, that would have been a problem. But as soon as he wants to talk, he can just take it down. It's like that right away. I just love that. It's like you just see Rand Paul doesn't have a mask on. He's got his mask on and then takes it down to talk. You're like, what is this? As Rand Paul initially called out, this just theater is fucking amazing. And right away, you got to love the question Rand Paul asked. It's fucking great. And it's an oldie, by the way. It was nothing like newly relevant. This is stuff we've been talking about for months and months back, almost a full year since Fauci's emails were leaked. But it was great. Anyway, great question.
What movie was it with, like, the action hero's got, like, the double pair of sunglasses, like, dramatically taking it off? But I don't know specifically where I saw that, but that's what it feels like with Fauci with the mask, where every single time he puts it back on just so he can dramatically take it off again. Do you remember what the Harvard scientist had said? I don't remember what the specific case was.
I believe this, you know, I could be wrong, but I believe this was about the Great Barrington Declaration of them basically saying, like, that this, like, the whole lockdown and kind of like this whole, like, approach was wrong. But I'm not sure. I could be mistaken about that, but it's kind of incidental to the point. But let's watch Dr. Fauci's response.
If you look at the email
that you responded to and hurried up and said, I can do it. We got something in Wired magazine.
No. I think in usual fashion, Senator, you are distorting everything about me.
Did you ever object to Dr. Collins' characterization of them as fringe? Did you write back to Dr. Collins and say, no, they're not fringe, they're esteemed scientists, and it would be beneath me
to do that?
You responded to him that you would do it, and you immediately got an article in Wired, and you sent it back to him and said, hey, look, I've got him. I nailed him in Wired of all scientific publications.
That's not what went on.
There you go again.
You just do the same thing every hearing.
That was your response. And this wasn't the only time. So your desire to take
you're
down people.
You're incorrect. As usual, Senator, you are incorrect. Almost everything you
people. Well, no, you deny. You deny.
This is the one part that I annoyed me, and I wish Rand Paul would have jumped on as gone, but I've been right every time. And I invite anybody watching this to go watch the series of hearings where I've said, hey, you're lying about gain of function. I think there was one where he said, you're wrong about the mass. I don't remember all of them, but there were at least three of
these. He's always right 2 weeks later.
Yeah,
he's always right.
And the media always takes Fauci's side at first and goes, look at how much of a quack Rand Paul is.
I believe specifically what he was referring to there in the in this article was actually, I was wrong, I think, about the Great Barrington. I think it was about people talking about the lab leak hypothesis and him saying that we have to discredit this as fringe and these scientists. And Fauci responds back with like an email that was like, well, look what I was able to pull off, and has this Wired magazine thing where they're all like trashing them. And Rand Paul saying, this isn't even like in a scientific journal. This is just like, this is like cheap politics. You're not Dr. Truth Science. You can't claim to be science and all this shit. It's like, look what you're doing. You're like trying to damage the reputations of scientists in pop articles. This is bullshit. And he's like, well, I didn't say what you're saying. That other guy emailed it to me. And it's like, yeah, but you responded with this article. Like, you've, and so it's just, Fetcher's just so full of shit. And then of course his only, you know, thing is go, this is what you do. You always misrepresent things. And you know, and just be indignant and all this. It's all fucking bullshit.
Where Fauci's strategy somewhat works, though, is that he creates a he says, she says environment where Rand Paul just says something and he goes, well, you're lying. And then sadly, the media seem more often than not.
Yes.
They get Fauci's side and go, look at the Rand Paul, how outrageous this individual is, where we got a guy who's trying to save the country and Rand Paul keeps cutting him down. And then every single time when it's a month later and Rand Paul's 100% right, you know, no one gets fired. There's no retractions.
Well, no, that's right. But what is valuable about these things is the public spectacle of it all. And the fact that whoever is out there who may have an open mind and be, or even be questioning this whole thing, can see Fauci squirm when someone presses him. And there's real value to that. So you're right.
But it's crazy that he's just off the hook on the gain of function thing, or at least for now. It's not like they've opened up a case against
him. But I don't know. But, you know, yes, off the hook legally. But what, you know, there's other avenues other than the criminal justice route, you know, where it's like, I just want I want as many Americans as possible to just know that this guy is a liar. And you know what I mean? And I think these things really help that. So that's the best we've got. It's not going to be a one shot knockout. And now this, you know, this is the end of a Law and Order episode where, yes, Fauci's put in handcuffs and led away or something. But all right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is BetterHelp. BetterHelp, spelled BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers professional counseling done securely online. So if you feel like there's something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, definitely check out BetterHelp. Whatever you're dealing with, BetterHelp has a wide range of counselors available for you. Plus, BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional offline counseling. Financial aid is available, and it's easy to get started. Once you sign up, BetterHelp will match you with your own licensed professional therapist, who you'll be able to communicate with in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. This is professional counseling done securely online, and BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. So it's easy and free to switch counselors if you need to. You can send messages to your counselor at any time and you'll get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. So it's the perfect way to do therapy in these crazy times when you're not allowed to go anywhere. No more sitting in uncomfortable waiting rooms. Just go to betterhelp.com/problem and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. New testimonials from users are posted daily. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So go to the website betterhelp.com/problem, BetterHelp.com/problem. That'll get you 10% off your first month. One more time, betterhelp.com/problem for 10% off your first month. All right, let's get back into the show. All right, let's keep playing.
But the emails tell the truth of this.
No.
This wasn't the only time. Your desire to take down those who disagree with you didn't stop with Harvard, Oxford, and Stanford. You conspired with Peter Daszak, who you communicated with privately, and other members of the scientific community that wrote opinion pieces for Nature. Oh. 5 of them signed a paper for Nature, an opinion piece. 17 signed a paper that called it conspiracy theory.
The idea that the virus could have originated
in the lab. Do you think words like conspiracy theory should be in a scientific paper?
Senator, I never used that word when I was referring to it. You're distorting virtually everything.
Did you communicate with the five scientists who wrote the opinion piece in Nature where they were describing, oh, there's no way this could
that
have come from the lab?
That was not me. What
did
I
you
did,
talk with any of those see, scientists
but
privately?
You keep distorting you? The truth.
Did you talk to any of the scientists privately
yes.
who wrote the opinion? You did.
Well,
what were they telling you privately?
Well, let me explain. You know, you're going back to that original discussion when I brought together a group of people to look at every possibility with an open mind. So not only are you distorting it, you were completely turning it around, as
you usually
do.
Were most of the scientists that came to you privately, did they come to you privately and say, no way, this came from the lab? Or was their initial impression, Dr. Gary and others that were involved, was their initial impression actually that it looked very suspicious for a virus that came from a lab?
Senator,
pause for a sec?
We are here.
Even Fauci's statement here of, yes, I gathered with those individuals, Peter Daszak is the person that gave the money to the Wuhan lab.
Mm-hmm.
That guy should not be allowed in that conversation.
Yes.
Unless you're trying to have a strategy meeting for how you're covering people's ass or how you let the guy who might be in trouble at least plead his case.
And
so,
yes. And what you'll notice here, right, is that, yes, you're 100% right about that. And just something to notice here is that this is what you should pay attention to. Okay. Fauci is here under oath, or I don't know if technically the term is under oath, but it is a crime to lie to Congress. So he is in that sense, like legally bound to not lie. Now, lots of people lie to Congress.
And you cannot remember anything. There can be anything that you're not aware of or go,
sure.
I don't remember the particulars.
And also there are people who just blatantly lie, but if they're protected by the regime, they never really get prosecuted for it. If they're on the wrong side of the regime, they will get prosecuted for it. Look at, you know, Clapper versus, I don't know, Trump's, you know, lawyers or something like that. But if you realize here, he could just shoot Rand Paul a no. Or he could say, yeah, I talked to those people, but I never encouraged anybody not to look into the lab leak. I never did anything like that. That's not true. But he doesn't say that. Instead, he goes, you know, you're completely inverting what actually happened here to make it seem like a whole different thing. And yes, I talked to people, but I formed a team to look into the possibilities of everything. But Rand Paul's being very clear with what the accusation is. That, look, there were a lot of scientists who thought this looks like it could have come from this lab. And you were out there kind of with your people who you support. They were all putting these articles out, calling them conspiracy theories. And he doesn't say, well, yeah, I disagree with that, or I had nothing to do with that, or I said they shouldn't do that, or I was never involved in these communications. He doesn't say anything like that. He goes, I didn't say that. And you're completely, you know, turning things on their head and all of this. It's like, okay, well, why aren't you just addressing the question? If you are innocent of this, then just say it and go on the record. But he doesn't. He in a very crafty way, even though he seems a little bit nervous here. I don't know if you noticed that. Fauci seems a little bit like off his game, but he doesn't like very clearly state, no, I that's not what's happening here. Anyway, let's keep
it's
playing.
It's like if there was a dead body in your house and a gun with your fingerprints on it, and the cop's like, so I mean, that's your house, that's a dead body and your fingerprints, right? He goes, well, yeah, but you're painting a picture. You're trying to distort the whole thing.
He goes, so there's a dead body in your house with your fingerprints on the gun. Did you kill that woman? And he goes, here you go again. You know, I have said many times that I do not approve of people being murdered. And you are still sitting here acting as if I murdered. Like, oh, yeah, but your friend who you said was really great just said that you murdered that person. And you're like, that wasn't me. That was someone else who said that. And now you're making it seem like I said that. And it's like, you know, you could take this time to just say, I did not kill that person. Like this, but you're not saying that for a reason.
Fauci might have said, you know, it sounds really bad when you say the facts.
Right. Yeah.
It's a little bit
it
of
does
spin.
Come off bad when you say that. Okay. All right. Let's keep playing.
Here at a committee to look at a virus now that has killed almost 900,000 people. And the
purpose
of the committee...
Can you pause again? This is one of the things that is bothering me the most. We all understand that there's a serious virus and we need to contain it. And they always try and pivot like, hey, guys, if you forgot, we're here. No, we get it. That's why we're at this meeting. We don't need everyone to pretend like you're the, like, everyone in the room cares about it. You don't need to pretend no one's aware of this information. Like, it's as if, like, you were in the schoolyard and kids started playing with their dicks. And they're like, hey, guys, did you forget we're out here having this thing because we're discussing, you know, the fire drills, and the fire drills important because people could die. No, we get it. We all are here addressing the fact that there's a serious issue. Like, no one's not on board with that.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's really, it's such a cheap tactic to pretend that, like, either you agree with me or you don't care about how serious this is. It's just the lamest tactic ever. Yeah. We're all against people dying of a virus. You also kind of want to know where that virus came from. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show. This is going out to the fans who are adults over the age of 21 and living in states where Delta 8 is legal. If you want to get high, very high, well, then now's the time to go to yodelta.com, where you can stock up on high quality lab tested Delta 8. If you're over the age of 21 and living in the majority of states where it's legal, go to yodelta.com and stock up on Delta 8. Delta 8 is naturally found in hemp, and it can be legally shipped to various states. And this does get you high. This isn't like CBD. This actually gets you high. It's organically, naturally grown in hemp. At yodelta.com, you can find a mix of gummies and vapes for all of your needs. And you're going to love this stuff. All my friends who smoke weed say Delta 8 is really great. I can tell you that Delta 8 works, and these products should be taken responsibly. So once more, yodelta.com, the official Delta 8 sponsor of the Gas Digital Network. And if you use the promo code GAS, you will get 25% off. So the promo code is GAS for 25% off at YoDelta, home of Delta 8. That will get you super high. Okay, let's get back into the show. Anyway, let's keep playing.
Almost 900,000 people. And the purpose of the committee was to try and get things out, how we can help to get the American public. And you keep coming back to personal attacks on me that have absolutely no relevance to reality.
Do you think anybody has had more influence over our response to this than you have? Do you think it's a great success? Do you think it's a great success, what's happened so far? Do you think lockdowns are good for our kids? Do you think we slowed down the death rate? More people have died now under President Biden than did under President Trump. You are the one responsible. You are the architect. You are the lead architect for the response from the government. And now 800,000 people have died.
Right.
Do you think it's a winning success, what you've advocated for government?
Senator, first of all, if you look at everything that I said, you accuse me of, in a monolithic way, telling people what they need to do. Everything that I've said has been in support of the CDC guidelines. Wear a mask, get boosted.
And you've advocated to make it coercive.
Take a look at everything that I've said.
To be done by mandate.
Right.
You've advocated that your infallible opinion be dictated by law.
Right. So again, Madam Chair.
I think that this was a pretty brilliant question by Rand, where he goes, well, you've been in charge this whole time and it's only gotten worse. So before, as you keep telling us, hey, we've got this serious incident here and there's 900,000 people, fine. So yes, it's a serious thing and you've been in charge and it's only getting worse. So if we really think that this is so serious, maybe you shouldn't be in charge. Or what have you done that's actually working?
Well, it's a great way to put it, to flip it around on him when he's saying, you don't understand how bad this virus has been, and to just go, okay, but you got to own it now. You've been here through two administrations and you have been the head guy, the most influential person, and go, has this worked out well? Have you done a good job? Like, has this response with lockdowns and, you know, mandates and all this stuff, like, has this been a success? And all of the tolls that it's, and he mentions, like, what it's done to our kids, what it's done to the economy, all of this, like, has this worked out well? And to turn that on him is a great way to put it. Like, you either defend it or not. And what can he do? What's the only thing he can do? all I've advocated is what the CDC says. So all of a sudden, it's not Dr. Fauci. It's not Dr. Truth Science. It's, well, it's just these other people. Just try to pass the buck, because he can't even say, just with a straight face, go, yes, this was a success. We did it right. This was great. He can't point to one area, the most blue, city in the most blue state, and say, well, they did everything we advocated, and that's why they were such a success. He's got nothing like that, right? So he just has to go to, like, well, it's these other people, and you're painting me out to be this bad guy, and woe is me, and all of this. And so that's all he has to respond with.
That's so incredible. I didn't quite, it's like he can't respond, yes, I've done a lot and it's saved lives. He can't even go there. So it's, hey, I'm not the only one making bad decisions. Yep. It's me and the CDC, and we're working in tandem, so you can't blame me. Well, then maybe someone else should try and step in who might be able to make better decisions, because it sounds like you're not even making decisions.
That's for sure. And this idea of, like, I just give advice and I don't do any of this. He's been out there. We've played the clips on the show a ton of times. He's been out there saying Americans can't do this. Americans can't celebrate Christmas. They can't do this. We're not going to get back to normal till now. You're never going to have a regular wedding for years. Like, don't act like you're just some guy giving advice. You're an authoritarian who is advocating for authoritarian policies. Now, you might think these authoritarian policies are going to save lives, but then, okay, fucking defend that. Then the onus is on you. Especially in a professed free society, which I don't even know if we are anymore, but we used to be. And then the onus is on you to demonstrate why these, authoritarian rules are necessary. Anyway, let's keep playing.
I would like just a couple of minutes, because this happens all the time. You personally attack me, and with absolutely not a shred of evidence of anything you say. So I would like to make something clear to the committee.
Pause again. Not a shred of evidence. At every single one of these, he's come with evidence. This case, it's Fauci's own email.
His email exchanges. The idea that he doesn't have a shred of evidence is bananas. And the idea that now Fauci, whatever, this we'll get into this, but he's going to pivot into this, like, you attack me personally. It's like, dude, you fucking put yourself out there as this figure. If you don't want this job, don't take this job. But to cry, like, woe is me, and, like, you're attacking me personally.
This for political reasons. What you need to do is, he said in front of this committee.
You think your takedown of three prominent epidemiologists was not political?
You don't want me to finish, because you know what I'm going to say.
That was the question. Senator, were you political in taking down these three prominent epidemiologists?
Senator Paul, if you would please, I'm going to allow Dr. Fauci to respond. We have a number of senators who would like to ask questions, and I would like him to be able to respond. Please do so.
So the last time we had a committee, or the time before, he was accusing me of being responsible for the death of 4 to 5 million people, which is really irresponsible. And I say, why is he doing that? There are two reasons why that's really bad. The first is, it distracts from what we're all trying to do here today, is get our arms around the epidemic and the pandemic that we're dealing with, not something imaginary. Number two, what happens when he gets out and accuses me of things that are completely untrue is that all of a sudden that kindles the crazies out there, and I have life that threats upon my life, harassment of my family and my children with obscene phone calls because people are lying about me. Now, I guess you could say, well, that's the way it goes. I can take the hit. Well, it makes a difference. Because as some of you may know, just about 3 or 4 weeks ago, on December 21st, a person was arrested who was on their way from Sacramento to Washington, D.C., at a speed stop in Iowa. And the police asked him where he was going, and he was going to Washington, D.C. to kill Dr. Fauci. And they found in his car an AR-15 and multiple magazines of ammunition. Because he thinks that maybe I'm killing people. So I ask myself.
Pause it right there. I want to explain something. Look at Rand Paul's face right there. Look at Rand Paul's face in this video. Right there. That face. Okay? Just see that. I want to explain to you what's going on here. Okay? So just to be clear, Rand Paul has, since he's been a senator, which has been a little while, been a senator. He was elected in 2010. So 12 years he's been a senator. Fuck, we're old, huh? 2010 was a long time ago. All right. So since Rand Paul has been a senator, he has been shot at on a baseball field. He has been attacked, blindsided by his neighbor, and beat up, and caused, I think he had a punctured lung and had serious health issues related to that. He has been surrounded with his wife by Antifa / Black Lives Matter protesters. And he has had prominent blue checked liberals celebrating all three of those things. Okay. His wife, Kelly Paul, who's a wonderful woman, she has talked about how she sleeps with a gun in her nightstand next to her bed because they are that concerned for, you know, based off these real reasons for their own safety. So it really is something for Fauci to say, well, let me bring this up. You don't understand. There's been threats against me to Rand Paul. It's like, yeah, no. Okay, fine. I'm not saying that's okay. I'm not saying there should be these threats against you. I don't think people should be threatening Dr. Fauci or trying to drive up and kill him or something like that. No, that's not the way a just society should work. A just society should work where he is fired and tried for crimes against humanity, convicted, found guilty, and then
hung.
Sure. But I'm just saying, it's like, to be saying this to Rand Paul, like, oh, all of a sudden, oh my God, there was a threat. There was something that never reached me. This man has been shot at. He's been beat up. And this has been surrounded by an angry mob. And this is all celebrated and excused and dismissed. No one cares. And never has Rand Paul ever, in one of these exchanges, just played that card. You know what I mean? Like, never has anyone ever, like, grilled Rand Paul about a political issue. And he went, hey, man, I was shot at. You can't talk to me like that. No, he just makes his case. And so for Fauci to bring this up, number one, is just like, it's hilarious, you know. It's just so absurd to make this case to Rand Paul, of all people. And number two, I would say, you know, if you're making this connection that Rand Paul is grilling you really intensely, and also, you know, then you're getting these crazy people who want to kill you, like, that's your argument. But there's a little bit of a flaw in that logic, right? Like, there's a big assumption that you're making there that doesn't exactly follow. It's not like Rand Paul grilled you and therefore these people want to come kill you. And the only reason why they'd want to come kill you is because Rand Paul was grilling you. There could be other reasons. And maybe part of the reasons, again, not justifying this, you know, but not unjustifying it, but no, I'm not justifying this. And I'm not saying this is right. And these are probably really crazy people. No one should fucking do anything violent or take the law into their own hands or anything like that. You know, I will always continue to say that. But maybe the reason these people are so furious at you is because you have ruined their fucking life. Maybe it's that. Maybe it wasn't a contentious Senate hearing. You know what I mean? Maybe it was the fact that you ruined their fucking life, which you've done to millions of Americans. Maybe that's why people are furious at you. Maybe this is not evidence that Rand Paul is wrong. Maybe this is evidence that Rand Paul is right. And I'm sorry. And yeah, okay. If this is too much for you, then get out of the fucking way and don't do this job. But that's like, I don't know. You are out there advocating for totalitarian policies. And don't be shocked when the people who are the fucking, you know, like, look, but even by Fauci's logic, he has to understand that if you're advocating for lockdowns and, you know, vaccine mandates and like all this other shit, that there are people who are crushed by that. You can't deny that. There are people who are crushed by those mandates and those lockdowns. And don't be surprised when those people don't go, well, I'm just a pawn on the chessboard, you know? I mean, so obviously, if it's for the greater good, then I have to be sacrificed. No, some of those people are going to go like, no, fucking, you know, you have to be sacrificed for the greater good. So that's all I'm saying is like the idea that you would play this card to Rand Paul and not even look in the mirror and go like, well, maybe part of it's you that's inspiring this hatred.
Fauci might be a mass murderer in the name of pharma profits, but even if you were to give him the benefit of the doubt and just say,
that's a great way to start a sentence, but go ahead.
Let's just say, you know, he's incompetent and Rand Paul's going, hey, I think this isn't a winning strategy here. The balls to go, hey, you questioning whether or not there's a conflict of interest here and highlighting some of the errors I've made is distracting us from the real work of me going and making more errors. Like,
yeah. Well, the balls go, to go, how but dare even, you question? It's more than that. It's the balls to go, you questioning me about whether I'm responsible for this, or I've been incompetent, or I've been criminal, or any of this. This leads to people hating me. And this leads to people hating me so much that some of them want to fucking kill me. You're like, so that means what? Rand Paul should shut up? Like, if you were in charge of the most consequential policies in modern American history and got it all wrong, or even if you don't think you did, but if someone else thinks you did and they go, hey, I think you got this all wrong, and I think you're fucking corrupt. And you'd be like, hey, bro, you even suggesting that could get me hurt. Don't suggest that. Poof, is that wild? Here, let's play the end of it because it gets even more wild.
Why would Senator want to do this? So go to Rand Paul website and you see fire Dr. Fauci with a little box that says contribute here. You can do $5, $10, $20, $100. So you are making a catastrophic epidemic for your political gain. So the
you
only
you have
thing
politically
that,
attacked your
can,
colleagues and in a politically reprehensible
the
way
only thing
attacked
that I
their reputations.
Okay,
you won't defend it.
No,
you won't argue it.
I'm
you'll just simply turn
we're
around
going
the attack.
To continue this hearing. We have a number of questions from
just
other senators.
One more minute, please.
Fauci, I really appreciate your response, but we do have a number of questions from senators, and
right.
We do have a
so
second round. And
so
I'm,
that's the end of it, okay? So
you gotta, by the way, I watch a fair amount of these and witnesses don't usually get time after questioning to just go, hey, let me address that. It's usually kind of whoever's asking the question.
Well, they didn't give him any more time after that one there. But just to be clear about what happened there is that he goes, so there's all this violence, you know, being threatened against me. Now, of course, what they're talking about, a man was arrested with a gun in his car who said, I'm going to kill Dr. Fauci. I mean, okay. Rand Paul was actually shot at by a Bernie supporter, by the way, on a baseball field. But, you know, I wouldn't sit there and say, you know, you guys have heard me make over the years, right? Me and Rob both have made a ton of arguments against Bernie Sanders, right? I mean, we've taken on Bernie Sanders on his policies on the minimum wage, on healthcare, on college loans, on like a million different things that we've criticized Bernie Sanders for. I bet one thing you've never heard me or Rob criticize Bernie Sanders for is that some deranged Bernie Sanders supporter went out and shot at Rand Paul one time. Because that would be fucking stupid, because that would be fucking ridiculous for me to blame Bernie Sanders for some crazy person who heard Bernie Sanders talk about universal health care and forgiving student loans and raising the minimum wage, going and shooting Rand Paul, right? That would be really fucking stupid and ridiculous for me to blame Bernie Sanders for some random person doing that. That doesn't make any sense. Like, he might be wrong about all of that shit, but it's not his fault that someone else did that. And for Rand Paul having fired Dr. Fauci on his website, you can't blame him for someone else trying to kill Dr. Fauci, which, by the way, no one tried to kill Fauci. Someone was just arrested in their car, but the Bernie Sanders supporter actually tried to kill the Rand Paul and a bunch of other Republican congressmen and actually shot one of them. So anyway, that's just stupid. That's like, has nothing to do with anything that's going on here. But to see Fauci in this moment, like present that as if this is some sort of evidence that it's like, well, then you can't fucking, you know, you can't say that. And then Rand Paul just basically calls him out and goes, listen, you try to destroy other people's reputations and it was despicable and you have no counter to this. So you're just going right into this stuff. And then to say that like Rand Paul's raising money off his site, it's like, yeah, right. And so is everyone else in Congress. They're all right. They raise money off this. He's trying to get you fired. He thinks you're very, very bad at your job. There you go.
I bet that was a hell of an advertisement for Rand, by the way, because now I'm aware of the fact that I can go donate to firing Fauci. I wasn't aware of this.
Yeah, Rand Paul might get a couple bucks out of me too. Sure. But why? Well, I mean, like, anyway, it's just so, it's so absurd that like fire. So he's like, well, this guy wanted to kill me. And look what you said. You said fire Fauci. Oh, okay. Sure. That's not, I don't know.
He also brought that piece of paper. He was waiting the whole meeting to show that.
Yeah, he clearly was. He clearly was really interested to show that paper. I don't know. Any other comments you have on that exchange?
Maybe I'm wrong here and it happens more often than I'm presenting it, but usually they don't give witnesses time at the end. And that kind of it adds a little bit to say, hey, what that senator just accused you of is so crazy, I'm going to give you the time to respond to it. It does allow for a little bit of commentary to go, what that person did was out of line. And I don't think that that's usually, you kind of come to the end of your time. And like, sometimes they give him a little bit, but like, this was each time that they give Fauci more time, it's like, wow, what he just said was crazy. So we're going to give you a chance to address that because what was said was so crazy. And that's not normal.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Maybe you're right about that. All right, guys, let's take a second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Fully Loaded Chew. The holiday season just passed. And with the new year kicking off, a lot of our fans are either still smoking cigarettes or hitting those disgusting vape pens. Ugh, animals. Now, nicotine is an addictive chemical, so we're not suggesting this to any new users. But if you're like me and you love nicotine, you gotta try Fully Loaded Chew. Here's why. Lifelong smokers, vapers, and dippers have been switching to Fully Loaded Chew. It's the only chew with tobacco-free nicotine. Tobacco-free nicotine means less bad shit in your mouth. Fully Loaded's motto is save a lip. And they've got a full line of flavors too. Wintergreen, mint, bourbon, peach. And be sure to try the reformulated classic flavor. It's the closest to Copenhagen and tobacco free. Fully Loaded Chew comes at different nicotine levels. Full strength is the same nicotine as any other chew. And if you're looking to cut back on your nicotine or wean yourself off of nicotine, they have half strength and full flavor chew with no nicotine at all. So once more, if you're a dipper, you have to try Fully Loaded Chew. The team at Gas Digital and Fully Loaded Chew worked to put together a killer promotional offer for you. If you go to fullyloadedchew.com and use the promo code GAS1, you are going to get a tin of Fully Loaded or Dervy for just $1 and free shipping on any purchases you make. Once more, that's fullyloadedchew.com and the promo code is GAS1 for a free tin and free shipping. Check it out and save a lip with Fully Loaded. All right, let's get back into the show. But I did think Rand Paul did a great job there. I think like usual, I think he really nailed that one. Okay, so we're all right. So see where we are on time here. There was something else that I wanted to mention. There are a few other things I wanted to mention, but I think that maybe we'll start with this. There was a thing, I don't know if you saw this, Rob, but there was a thing that Trump said Donald Trump was had an interview recently, and Donald Trump has been in a couple of recent interviews, he's really been pushing the vaccine, and he's trying to take credit for the vaccine, like it was the Trump administration that created it. Yeah. And he keeps saying this very weird thing, which is very Trumpian, but I think here's my thing, right? I think I'm not making the comment that I think Donald Trump is wrong, or that I think Donald Trump is I'm not commenting that I think Donald Trump is wrong. Donald Trump's wrong all the time. That's not what I'm noticing about this. What I'm noticing that's interesting is that Donald Trump seems like he wants to run in 2024 for his own ego, if nothing else. And I'm noticing something about his interviews recently where I go, I don't think this is going to work. Like, forget the what you think is right or what you think is wrong, morally speaking, or what is the correct policy. I'm saying just putting on your political analyst hat for a second. I don't think Donald Trump has his finger on the pulse the same way he did in 2016. If you remember, before all the COVID insanity broke out, in 2019, we were talking about Donald Trump's reelection campaign. And I made this point on the podcast. We did a whole episode about this. You might recall about how Donald Trump, his reelection campaign was Keep America Great. And he ditched that real quickly. But I remember saying to you, I go, I don't think Keep America Great is as powerful as Make America Great Again. I just don't think that works. You know, Make America Great Again is like, hey, for anyone out there who loves this country but doesn't feel like you're doing as good as you should be doing, well, this is for you. This is going to get you back. You know, it plays on nostalgia and all these other things. And Keep America Great is like, oh, you don't feel like you're doing as good as you should? Well, sorry. I got nothing to offer you. You are doing great. And you should stay right where you're at. Like, that doesn't work quite as well. And I've been noticing, I just don't think that bragging about the vaccine, because I'm so great, I'm Donald Trump, I made the vaccine, is really something that speaks to the Republican base right now. I think the Republican base right now is pretty reactionary against the vaccine mandates. And sure, there probably is a way to split the difference there and to say, hey, I think the vaccines are really great and the vaccines work and the vaccines are a huge success, but I'm against the mandates. But I don't think Donald Trump is artfully splitting that difference. I don't think that's he's doing a good job of that.
The vaccines haven't even worked all that well. I mean, it's like if you convinced all your friends to go buy lottery tickets, you didn't win the lottery, and then you're still like, but I got us out to buy the lottery tickets. I did. Yeah, but it didn't work. Fucking lottery.
You know something he's been repeating a lot, which is so weird. And I, again, you know, he's not on social media anymore, so I just see these occasional interviews that he has. But he's been repeating this claim that the vaccines saved tens of millions of lives.
Yeah, that's just a Trump thing. He's just being full of shit.
It's just like so ridiculous. Like you're like, wait, tens of millions? Like how do you even get to that number in your head? Like, so again, yes, I know it's just a Trump thing, but it's not a Trump thing in the direction of what his people even want to hear. Is my point? If that makes sense.
And the health mandates tie into it because the vaccines that don't work all that well, gave the government the door to create these authoritarian mandates and pretend like they're working really well. They're going to save everybody. And that if you're not accepting it, you're putting other people at risk. So it's like the two things do kind of tie together. It's not.
Well, that's right. There is something to be said for that. My point is that it's not something, this doesn't fit in with what his base wants to hear. And what Donald Trump was great at when he was rising up as a presidential, you know, candidate and as a political force was throwing red meat to his base. And I'm like, this isn't it. So anyway, he apparently took a shot at Ron DeSantis. And this is kind of interesting because, you know, who the hell knows? It's still pretty early, but it's very plausible. It's very likely that Ron DeSantis is Trump's biggest competition right now in the Republican primary in 2024. And who knows? We don't know for sure that either of them are going to run, but it does look like both of them want to. And this is certainly, if people had to guess who was going to run, these would be the two front runners right now. And so he, Ron DeSantis evidently was asked whether he was boosted. I guess he said that he took the vaccine and got his two shots, but he hesitated to acknowledge whether he had taken the booster or not. And so Trump went out and started trashing politicians who don't admit if they're boosted or not. And he was like, look, if you're boosted, you got to admit you're boosted. I'm boosted. I'll say it right now. I'm boosted. And other people who won't admit it, they're kind of cowards. I mean, you have to admit it. And started taking this tone. And now he didn't specifically say Ron DeSantis, but almost everyone took this as him attacking Ron DeSantis. And now Ann Coulter, who literally wrote the book In Trump We Trust, was the biggest advocate of Donald Trump in 2016. She tweeted, she was trending for a little while, but she tweeted exclusive, Trump is demanding to know Ron DeSantis's booster status, and I can now reveal it. He was a loyal booster when Trump ran in 2016. But then he learned our president was a liar and con man whose grift was permanent. I hope that clears things up. So, look, I'm not saying Ann Coulter means the world or anything there, but it's interesting to see someone who was such an ardent Trump supporter in 2016, and that's their response. And there is, I will tell you that I think in some ways, if you're talking about a Trump versus DeSantis run, you know, Ann Coulter represents a lot of that world. And the idea that Donald Trump, if he is trying to go after DeSantis, is going after him for not being upfront about whether he's been boosted or not. If I were an advisor to Donald Trump and he was like, I want to hit DeSantis, you know? And he was like, this is how I'm going to do it. I'd say, this is the most retarded way to go about that possibly. Like, not only are you just positioning yourself to be like, and again, it's not even a matter of whether you are pro or anti-vax, but just knowing that the whole base that you're talking to is reactionary against the mandates, against the COVID regime, to position yourself as the not only pro-vax person, but the person saying that you must talk about the fact that you're not only vaccinated, but boosted, that you must be like forthcoming with that information, which you would think might be personal medical information, but whatever. I'm just looking at that and I'm going, man, that's not a successful recipe. That seems like a really, really bad strategy that can't possibly win. Anyway, this is very early. It's not like anything conclusive, but I got to say right there, I was thinking for a while, my thing was like, if Trump wants to run, I don't know who could beat him in the Republican Party, like who could win a primary against him. But seeing this makes me almost go, you know, I think he was in step with where the movement was in 2016. Going into 2022, I think Donald Trump might be a little out of step with where the Republican base is. And I think his ultimate undoing is that he can't even look at anything. He's not looking at like, well, how much have the vaccines actually worked? Well, what's the problem with the mandates? Or what's the problem with this? Donald Trump is looking at this like, how can I spin this that I was the greatest? That's all he ever cares about. And so if he was the guy in there when the vaccines were developed, he's going to go, you know what? We have to spin this as I saved tens of millions of lives. That's it. It's that superficial and that simple. But that's a loser. That's a losing argument right now. And so I just thought this was very interesting. He took on Ron DeSantis on DeSantis's strength, opposition to the COVID regime. And he positioned himself, again, I'm not even saying you have to disagree with what Trump is saying. I'm just saying, I'm not even talking about this in terms of what's actually right or wrong or how you feel about it. That's not my point here. I'm saying politically, understanding where the winds are blowing and who's on what side. He positioned himself on the side of the COVID regime, challenging Ron DeSantis for not complying enough. And there was something about that that I went, man, that is profoundly stupid of Donald Trump to do. Just saying. I don't know. Any thoughts on this, Rob? But that's like, you get what I'm saying?
No, I agree 100%. These vaccines have been terrible. I don't think there's it'd be one thing if everyone who got it never got sick again. And then you could go, hey, look at this incredible thing that I brought to the market that never would have existed without me. They're not working that well. Who's excited about it? Who's going, hey, we've had this winning strategy. Like, it would be one thing if the country was just reopened and everything was working out and you'd go, oh, wow. Yeah, that it's not even that good of a thing.
Did you hear the CEO of Pfizer basically said,
yeah,
that if you've had your two shots, he goes, you had your two shots. That's not going to do much for Omicron. If you're boosted, that'll likely give you some protection against being very sick or dying from the Omicron. And by March, we'll have a vaccine for this variant. And you're like, well, that'll be right in time for the next variant.
By the way, available in March means it's actually in people's arms in April and May.
Right. So that's like what they're saying. And at that moment, like they're almost admitting it was. I thought the crazy admission was he basically said that like the first two shots are going to give you very little against this variant. So you're like, okay, so you're admitting that now. And then he's going to come out and say, well, you haven't admitted that you're boosted, not even vaccinated. We're going to the next step now, boosted. Oh, holy shit, dude. Like, if you were some big investor who's pouring money into Trump 2024, if I were that guy, I'd be like, fuck, this investment just took a huge hit. That's how I'd feel.
If he was smarter, he'd say nothing about the vaccine and just say, hey, we got to get this thing reopened. Like, I made a mistake. I let them bully me into shutting down the country. This is America. Let's get back to work. Let's
or even, freedom even back. Look,
don't talk about the vaccine.
If you want to be Trump about it, okay? Look, I'm not, because again, I'm not trying to even talk about, I think you slid a little bit into doing the right thing. And yes, if you were Donald Trump and you wanted to do the right thing, you could say, holy shit, I was rolled. I was rolled by the deep state and by the establishment and by the Israeli lobby and by everybody. I was completely rolled. I never should have put John Bolton and Anthony Fauci, and I never should have I should have day one, you know, fired everybody, and I should have tried James Comey for crimes against, you know, the Constitution and all of this. And sure, there's a million things you should say. And I'm so sorry for continuing the war in Yemen and all of it, you know, like, okay. But that's just the right thing. If you're talking about the political thing to do here, Donald Trump doesn't even need to say, look, I'm sorry and I was wrong about this. He could come out and say in a Trumpian manner, I was always against the lockdowns. I was always against Fauci. I was always against any of this. And look, the vaccines are there. And if you want to take them, take them. But no one should be forced to take these vaccines. And what they've done for blah, blah, blah has been a disaster. And if I were here, the economy would be wide open and we'd all be prospering. And it's just really, it's a cold at this point. Like, who cares? You know, like that would be the politically wise thing to do. The politically wise thing to do would be to claim what a winner he was and what a loser Joe Biden has been. That has been. That's Donald Trump. That's the essence of what made him a winner. But he's not doing that. He's like, he wants to attack DeSantis because he sees him as his toughest competition. And the only thing he could think to do was say, you haven't publicly acknowledged that you're not only vaccinated, but double vaccinated and boosted. That's not a winner. I'm sorry. I know a winner when I see one, and I know a loser when I see one. And I go, that's a losing argument right there. So we'll see.
Well, maybe after he couldn't get a wall and he couldn't prove the election fraud, he's just lost his mojo. He's got loser energy.
I do think that's it, basically. I think that Donald Trump, his whole aura was wrapped around winning, and that he does not, once he loses, he doesn't do well. He doesn't do well. He can't accept losing. He has to make excuses for it. And I don't know. I think this shit just comes off like he's a bitch. And by the way, I don't want to see Ron DeSantis as president. I don't really think there's any reason to believe he'd be a good president. I want to see him continue to be governor of Florida. Keep Florida as an opposition to the COVID regime state. That's, to me, that seems like a great thing to do. But anyway, there was something about this I thought was really profound, and a really profound shift in how I thought the 2024, Republican primary might go. And I was like, no, I think Trump's lost his mojo. I don't think he has his finger on the pulse of where his base is anymore. Somehow he did at some point.
I think we should let Hillary close it down. Let her get elected and then let it fall apart. Like,
did you see the reports that she wants to run?
Yeah, but I'm saying let her be the last one. Let her have that moment where she gets in there and she goes, wow, I finally did it. And then she's the one that gets, caught with the bill of goods, and the whole thing crumbles, and she's the last face on the American empire.
It's pretty funny that she's like, she still
America
wants
can be
to
like,
do
that
it again.
Bitch ruined it.
Well, it's funny because she's like, look, I know I'm old as shit, but I'm watching Biden in there, and it's like, hey, I guess old as shit.
I can't
people
be dumber
can do
than
this.
Biden.
Yeah, right. Exactly. She might be right. Maybe she's right. Oh, the thoughts of a Hillary versus Trump repeat in 2024. It's just too much. They were old in 2016, and now we're going to repeat that 8 years later. Ugh, who knows? What a weird country we live in. All right, that's our show for today. Guys, come see us in Boston. Looking forward to having some fun with a lot of the fans out there in Boston. And yeah, check out for the next podcast. Will be the Live from Boston episode of Part of the Problem. All right, that's it for us. Peace.